I call to order the Papillion Missouri River NRD budget hearing and budget summary. Item one on the agenda, I just did, hearing called to order. Item two is the Notification Open Meetings Act. Copy Open Meetings Act. Nebraska Revised Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning the agenda for today's meeting, I'd like to announce a procedure to be used for this hearing. After the adoption of the agenda and appointment of the hearing officer will provide the public evidence of proof of publication of the hearing, notice, accept and identify exhibits, and break down the proposed FY 2021 budget. Then the public will be given the opportunity to provide testimony statements on the budget hearing and budget summary. We ask that the public not interrupt public input or director's discussion. Thank you. Form call.
Bailey.
Here.
Bradley.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
Dowler.
Here.
Grimwald.
Yeah. Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Kaminsky.
Here.
Kaiser.
Here.
Reese.
Here.
Here. Item four, adoption in general of the agenda. Is there a motion? Moved by this guy here, Teaser.
Thank you.
Seconded by Bradley. Roll call.
Dowler.
Yes.
Grimwald.
Yes.
Sapinski.
Yes.
Teaser.
Yes.
Reese. Yes.
Bagley. Aye.
And Chairman.
Yes. Item five, I have here proof of publication that this budget hearing was duly advertised in the paper. Item six, appointment of hearing officer, John Winkler, hereby appointed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next agenda item is evidence of proof of publication of the hearing notice, which I have as part of the public record.
That microphone on.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello?
Got to get closer, I guess.
People in the back, move it closer. Thank you.
Agenda item eight, acceptance and identification of exhibits. Exhibit one is the agenda itself. Exhibit two is a proof of publication of the hearing notices on the Omaha World Herald, September 3rd, 2020, and the Omaha World Herald, September 4th, 2020. Exhibit three is the fact sheet for the fiscal year 2021 budget. Exhibit four is the district's fiscal year 2021 proposed expenditures revenue pie chart. Exhibit five is the fiscal year 2021 budget worksheets. And exhibit six is the resolution to set the property tax request for fiscal year 2021 at $27,566,059.75 with a tax levy of 0.036490 per 100 of assessed valuation. The proposed 2021 budget, the total requirements for fiscal year 2020 versus 2021 is a reduction of 7.6%. The operating budget from 2020 to 2021 is a reduction of 3.9%. The property tax levy at 036490 compared to 2020 is a reduction of 2.4%. Total property tax requirement compared to 2020 is an increase of 4.5%. Property valued at 100,000, it would be a reduction of 2.4%. The budget summary is listed through your packet. I won't go through each one of those. This budget, the only difference from August is that the refinancing of the bonds is the only difference between the two budgets that were presented. There was no additional changes in that. So again, this would be the 15th out of 16 years that we've reduced or kept the mill levy the same. Nine of those years it's been reduced, six of those years it's been static, and 1 year it was increased. And now I'll open up the part of the public hearing to any public comment.
Anyone from the public wish to?
Sean Malotz, 10404 North 132nd Street, Omaha. I've passed out a copy of my testimony so that the directors have a chance to review it as well. I would like to begin by saying now is the time for all government entities, including the PAPIO or NRD, to lower property taxes. Decreasing a tax levy in an environment of rising property valuations does not provide property tax relief. According to the proposed FY 2021 property tax budget, taxpayers will be actually burdened with a 4.5% increase, and it's a $1.175 million increase in property tax requirement, irrespective of a decrease in the property tax levy. For informational purposes, the FY 2021 budgeted property taxes were $16.241 million. So over the past 10 years, property taxes paid by landowners to this NRD have increased by over $11 million, which equates to a 68% increase. The direction that staff is requesting of this board is staggering. Thus, I respectfully request that this board offer motions for cutting expenditures in the FY 2021 budget. As a CPA who has audited numerous government entities, including federal agencies, I do understand governmental budgeting. As such, I believe the FY 2021 budget has at minimum $4.6 million of property tax savings. Therefore, I'm asking conservative directors make the appropriate motions, adjust expenditures as described below, and to lower proposed property tax requirement as follows. In reviewing, I'm going through two specific items. There are multiple places where I believe there could be cuts, but I'd like to just address two specific areas. Number one deals with the professional services. I've included with this an attachment, and it shows that the total professional services in this budget is over $5.3 million. I think that there should be a review of these expenditures by the board, as I have shown in this comparative chart, the FY 2020 budget versus actuals were actually close to $1.5 million over budgeted. And if you look on the second attachment, the 2019 budget versus actual, is over $2.5 million over budget. So if you review through those, I'm surely sure that there are opportunities to cut these expenditures. I would recommend that the board decrease professional services budgeted for informational and education and make them budgeted to what was actually spent over the last two fiscal years rather than an over budget last year of close to $85 million. Then when you review through the other professional fees, you could see that there would be easily a 10% cut that could be made across those expenditures. You would also need to keep in mind when you're doing there, I'm sure there's opportunities for cuts when you consider that there's $2.1 million included in this budget for technical salaries. So I would imagine these individuals will be fully capable of filling in the 10% cuts. Next, I would like to bring to the board's attention the Watershed Fund Reserve. Pages 32 through 35 of the budget represent dam projects voted on by previous boards. Based on historical budgets, staff has included in this budget a $4 million reserve for these projects. You can see that number on page 35 of the budget. Consistently, the board or the staff has asked board to over budget for the dams $4 million annually. If you look on page 35, the bottom line in the right side, that's a $4 million over expenditures. That has occurred in multiple budgets. Yes, prior boards have agreed to do that, but I think we have a new board here that perhaps there should be discussions on whether you want to continue to over-budget $4 million a year. So if that number is eliminated and the $600,000 change in professional expenditures, that's a $4.6 million decrease in property taxes. It would lower the levy to 304406. So I think these are a couple of pretty major items that could be addressed by this board in lowering this, the property taxes in this district. On another note, I have two suggestions that I believe would be advantageous to directors when analyzing proposed expenditures. Number one, to better understand future expending requirements, staff should be required to provide directors with total estimated costs of a project when presenting staff recommendations for project studies, interlocal agreements, or similar matters. For example, at the last month's August meeting, the board approved the Omaha Beltline Trail Project interlocal agreement. However, I believe there were no discussions regarding the estimated cost to the Papio NRT taxpayers for this project. I feel it's imperative that directors recognize estimated overall project costs, or at minimum, a range of estimated costs when approving staff recommendation. Number two, also to better understanding the progress on major projects, directors should require staff to present at monthly board meeting a breakdown of total costs, costs incurred to date, and change order, especially for projects in excess of certain amounts, say $1 million. This type of information is typically found on an AIA contract document. These documents produced by the American Institute of Architects are most widely used standard form in construction. They facilitate communications among all parties involved in construction, which makes it easier to produce a high quality project in a timely and economical fashion. A sample of page one of this document is attached to my testimony. I believe contractors are required to use these forms or an acceptable substitute when providing construction services to governmental entities. Therefore, staff should have this information readily available for presentation at monthly board meetings for both directors and the public. If implemented, I believe these two suggestions would assist directors in making informed decisions on multi-million dollar projects funded by property tax. I respectfully request that a copy of my testimony and attachments be included with the recorded written minutes of the Papio Missouri River NRD September 20th budget hearing. And thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Is there anyone else in the public that would like to testify?
Good afternoon. Doug Kagan, 416 South 130th Street, representing Nebraska Taxpayers for Freedom. In addition to the comments I made at the August public budget hearing, I have several more. In your budget, we would like to see itemization of the NRD staff salaries for comparability purposes with the private sector. Also, deletion of budget items not planned for activation in that particular fiscal year. Funding for items like dams yet to be constructed leads to NRD over-budgeting. Currently, there is no legal requirement for an interlocal partner to pay back money to the NRD. This situation requires correction because board members need and deserve to know who owes what and how much to whichever taxing authority in monthly tracking reports. We do appreciate the NRD proposing to lower the tax levy, even though the tax difference on a $200,000 home is less than $2, and that's not factoring in the value if you had a valuation increase. Suggested budget cuts from our organization and others certainly would decrease the tax load additionally. We also want to commend the NRD for both decreasing its operating budget by 3.9% and refinancing its bonds to save taxpayer dollars. However, we caution the NRD to not issue additional bonds with these saved dollars. Thank you.
Anyone else in the public that would like to provide testimony? Second time, anyone else in the public like to provide testimony? Third and final time. Thank you. The hearing is closed at 4:16 p.m. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Winkler. Second agenda item is the Papillion NRD special hearing to set the final tax request. I hereby call that meeting to order at 4:16. Notification of Meetings Act is posted on the back wall of the meeting room prior to turning the agenda for today's hearing. I'd like to announce the procedure will be used for this hearing. After adoption of the agenda and appointment of the hearing officer will provide the public evidence and proof of publication at the hearing notice, accept and identify exhibits, break down the proposed FY 2021 budget. Then the public will be given the opportunity to provide testimony statements on the property tax levy for fiscal year 2021. We ask the public not to interrupt public input or director's discussion. Thank you. Quorum call.
Bagley.
Here.
Bradley.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Monroe.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Sikinski.
Here.
Teaser.
Who?
Weiss.
Here. Yes. Here. For adoption agenda.
Second.
Teaser. Second by Bradley again. Roll call.
Fowler.
Yes.
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 Sikinski.
Yes.
Teaser.
Yes.
Wait.
Aye.
And Chairperson.
Yes. Five, proof publication of this hearing is duly published in the appropriate publications accordingly. Item six, I appoint John Winkler, General Manager, as hearing officer.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. Sorry. There goes my stand-up career. The item seven is the evidence of proof publication of the hearing notice, which is part of the public record. Agenda item eight, acceptance and identification of exhibits. Exhibit one is the agenda itself. Exhibit two is proof of publication of the hearing notices in the Omaha World Herald, September 3rd, 2020, Omaha World Herald, September 4th, 2020. Exhibit three is a fact sheet of the fiscal year 2021 budget. Exhibit four is the district's fiscal year 2021 proposed expenditures revenue pie chart. Exhibit five is the fiscal year 2021 budget worksheet. Exhibit six is a resolution to set the property tax request at fiscal year 2021 at $27,566,059.75 with a tax levy of 0.036490 per 100. Again, the total requirements are again reduced from last year, a 7.6%. Operating budget, again, reduced 3.9% from 2020. Property tax levy is, again, reduced 2.4% from last year to 0.03649. Total property tax requirement is 4.5% increase. Property valued at $100,000 would pay $36.49 a year or $3.04 a month for a reduction of 2.4%. Again, I won't go through the budget summary. It's there for your record, and I will open up the hearing to any public comment. Second request, is there anyone that would like to provide public comment? Third and final request for any public comment? Seeing none, the hearing ends at 4:20 p.m. Thank you.
John Winkler. I'm going to pass this down
this way.
Bill.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Programs, projects, and operations subcommittee meeting agenda. Order. Form call.
Fowler?
Here.
Jack?
Here.
Here.
Teaser?
Here.
And Chairperson.
Aye. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
So move.
Second.
Second. Roll call.
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Aye. Item number five, proof of publication of meeting notice. We have proof of publication. tonight, and it'll become part of the permanent record. Item number six, review and recommendation of amendment number six, professional services contract with HDR Engineering for Zirinsky Basin 2.
Hello, good afternoon. Amendment 6, so I feel like I've been here before on this. This is Zirinsky Basin 2. This is the last of the four water quality basins that were planned for Zirinsky Lake. And, you know, we started design for that in 2016. We've been under construction for quite a while, almost 2 full years. And we've extended the schedule a number of times. We are so close to completing the project. The contract amendment before you this evening is to extend the professional services contract with HDR for an additional 8 months. I know that's a long time, but they're about done, and they'll seed this fall in September here. But the growing season for these natives is really more like May, so we need to keep that project open and continue to do our stormwater inspections until we get a 70% ground cover of the vegetation. And we're real hopeful, you know, if we get good weather, that might happen. This is all an hourly not to exceed, so if we don't need to use it, we won't. But we do need to plan for getting some grass established out there. The other additional items are really just up to 100 hours, just a little bit of extra time for the construction observation representative, and then we're going to survey a number of channel sections for the 404 permit. The contract amendment 6 is not to exceed $43,991, and would recommend that the subcommittee recommend approval of that amendment. Lori Koretzuk from HDR is also here if there's any questions.
Second. Sean Lotz, 10404 North 132nd Street, Omaha. I'm not speaking directly on with respect to this item, but I would like to point out this is kind of an item of concern, which I brought up during my testimony for the budget hearing. This contract began at $470,000, and we're now at almost $2 million. So that's a $1.5 million increase that I think somehow the board should have had some kind of data that would allow them to make decisions on projects. You know, this is increasing four times, and I don't know if the original board had an inkling of something like this happening, but they need to consider this when you're, A, voting on future projects, that this could possibly occur. You know, I know there's always circumstances, and I know there's always times when you don't know, but this is exactly the type of expenses that are going through this organization that is a concern of mine as a taxpayer. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak?
I can clarify that, and Amanda can too. The original contract was so it's broken down in phases. So that was probably the phase one contract, but then you move on to construction management and all those other things. So it didn't start, it wasn't intended to be a $400-some-thousand contract. That was the first phase of that contract. Now there's different amendments that have added to that, but we didn't go from $400-some-thousand to over $1 million in just change orders. Those were actually phases of the contract. Thank you.
I had a question. I guess using our crystal ball, then, are there more of these coming up in the future, or do we not know, or are we just guessing?
You never want to say never, but they're going to be substantially complete, you know, by the end of September. They really have very little to do besides a tiny bit of grading and seeding. We've done a walkthrough on the weir and the main parts of the project, which all look really good and are complete. So. It is.
All right, thank you.
Once again, these are the kind of issues we deal with when a subdivision is being platted and built around one of our projects. So a lot of these costs are due to the fact that we didn't get to this project fast enough. And so we're dealing with neighbors, Amanda's probably spent 2 weeks on a fence issue so those are the kind of things, if we don't get in front, that you're going to deal with. You're going to get increased cost of not only professional services, we're going to get increased cost of construction and a land cost and all those things. So this is just a textbook example when you try to build one of our projects in a neighborhood. It's more expensive.
Thank you, Director Bradley.
Match the updated construction schedule. Extreme drought condition. Hopefully, this is not going to happen. But if a day of drought cover is not achieved.
And there's some, can't think of the word right now, a warranty on the seeding for at least a year is generally what our contracts have. And we use a lot of the natives, obviously, so they can take some of that drought. But you seed them dormant, and then they do need some good weather to get established. But we do have a warranty through our contract for a certain period of time.
Any other questions?
I've got a question on the budgeting on these projects. If we see the budgets or the costs are getting crazy, why don't we scrap them?
I would say the construction costs aren't crazy. I mean, we have a mechanism where if we get to close to 110%, we come back to the board, and we're not there on construction costs. The engineering costs, John mentioned, and that's kind of how we've set them up. We do a preliminary design, then we go back with an amendment. We call it an amendment, but it would be like the final design. And then we have another big amendment that's usually contract construction observation. So it's not all things that we didn't see coming, I guess.
So we knew it was going to cost that much, but we didn't budget. But we knew once we started a project that we could get more money and keep going.
Well, I think he's referring to the fact that there's just been a number of smaller delays. I mean, first of all, we had some weather, but, like, we have neighbors, we have access issues, we have, I think John's referring to, like, working in a neighborhood, those kind of delays that made construction harder and maybe a little more expensive because you're not just coming in with your trucks. You've got very specific routes and things.
But my only point is sometimes you're better off if you're getting a lot of pushback in the front. You're going to get pushed back on front. You're going to get pushed back. It's going to get worse as you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's real stuff.
Yeah.
That was about it.
Director?
So to build on Director Weiss's point here, I would like to ask staff to give all the directors copies of your audience projects. When I look back at my notes and the details provided, obviously I haven't been given.
Roll call.
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
what you want, trails, reservoirs, across the
Item number 7, review and recommendation of amendment to Lower Platte River Consortium interlocal agreement. Paul Wirt.
All right, good evening. Just briefly with this item, we were here last year to do the same thing, basically extend this agreement for 1 year. At some point, we might put together a better plan of maybe extending it a little bit longer. Right now, the consortium is just working together with the final drought mitigation plan or drought contingency plan was adopted at the end of last year in December. Right now, it just has us coordinating. So, like, as drought information becomes available, like this summer, we've been processing that back and forth in an email. And then we got on a couple of conference calls between MUD, Lincoln Utilities, and then the three NRDs, Lower Platte South, Lower Platte North, and us. Just to coordinate that, that's really all that's going on right now. We do have a plan to do a drought tabletop workshop to kind of plan what everybody would do if we did get into a severe drought scenario or a longer-term drought scenario. But so there's no extra cost to anything we're doing here. We're just extending the agreement for one additional year. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, this is concerning like the different proposals. For instance, the Bell Creek was one, and I think they were building a lake or something out west farther and so forth to help supplement Lincoln Water System water, correct?
Yeah, those potential projects are still just outlined in the plan, but there's been no action or anything taken on moving forward with any of those.
How close are they to making any kind of public input available at some point?
Pretty much right now, everybody's just kind of in a little bit of a holding pattern. One, seeing what MUD and Lincoln Water are kind of working on together, if there was ever a future plan to connect together, potentially MUD selling water to Lincoln. And then beyond that, yeah, none of the other projects have really went ahead for any grants or any future studies, so those aren't actively being pursued right now.
A meeting in Lincoln. Beyond that, as far as
none of them have
still looking at it, right?
None of them have advanced. No, right. This tabletop exercise might have a few of them in there and say what could they do if we got into a long-term drought, but nothing beyond the information we already have. So no additional work is going
to
be done
to
do that.
To
no, we're the. Through the agreement, all we do is just coordinate together right now. There's no other. The agreement doesn't call for us to do any other projects or anything at this point.
State.
Yep, basically.
We can have a motion on this item.
Motion for staff recommendation.
I have a question. What's our cost on this so far?
I think we've put in right around $20,000 total, because it got reduced because we got a big grant from the Bureau of Reclamation to do the main portion of the study. And the goal of that was the plan that's been approved was accepted and adopted through the Bureau of Reclamation, and they provide some what's called Water Smart Grant opportunities to help with these other types of projects. So I think we're in total, like the other three NRDs, around $20,000 total.
I'm looking at the Platte River at Louisville running 1,800 CFS right now, and you know, if the intent here is really to get Lincoln water in the future, you know, what do you see as the end result? Them putting their own line in from Missouri, or tapping on the MUD, or more well fields in a already in an area that's already being deprived of water or losing water?
Right. Yeah, I certainly think they're looking for water outside of still tapping into the Platte River Valley. And that may be, I think they're comparing right now costs of what they had estimated to go to the Missouri versus what connecting with MUD could do, and if that all makes sense. And again, that helps offset Lincoln's response to a drought. Inevitably, in that case, the river would still go dry. So is there part of this drought response that's actually providing real water in the river. So.
Of course, we go off a little dam down there. That'll solve the problem.
Sounds like that's being looked at, too.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah.
Paul, do you know what the Army Corps of Engineers is?
I'm not sure what they're, not that I know of, I'm not sure what their review would be, but I'm sure they would have some sort of oversight if there was wetlands or something impacted, but as far as drawing water from the groundwater next to the Missouri River, I think they can do that. Lincoln could do that. They wouldn't affect an actual core project or anything that I'm aware of.
One from the public wish to speak to the guy?
Just a comment for those of you who don't remember, we had a Lower Platte River Corridor Alliance that's worked successfully for quite a number of years. I encourage the adoption of this amendment to continue our interlocal through the, not really, the consortium. If nothing else, it shows that a number of entities are concerned and planning about the Lower Platte River, and I think that may have intangible benefits for future coalition efforts with the other three main NRDs. So I encourage your adoption.
Comments? We'll have roll call.
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Yes.
Zubinski?
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yeah. Call meeting of the FEO subcommittee to order. Notification of the Open Meeting Act posted on the rear as stated earlier. Number two. Moving on, number three, quorum call.
Ridley?
Here.
Bradley?
Here.
McCormick?
Here.
Weiss?
Here.
Chairperson?
Here. Item four, adoption agenda.
So moved. Second.
Roll call.
McCormick?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Aye.
Chairperson? Yes. Item five, proof of publication of meeting. I have it here before me. Item six, review and recommendation of the Papio FY 2021 tax levy adoption of budget. John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've discussed pretty much everything that's in that budget. Again, in August, when we had our discussion, we did not have the final valuations at that time. We did get a 7%, a little over 7% increase from the counties that make up our district. And again, as we promised at the August meeting, we discussed that we only, and we have had this philosophy for the last 15 years, we're only going to take what we need. So we're dropping our mill levy to reflect that the 4.5% that we proposed in July, that be what is we take for our budget. So, again, 15 out of 16 years, you as a board have either lowered your mill levy or kept it the same. And so I would challenge any other political subdivision to do the same. And if they can kick theirs down this year, I would challenge them to do it. We were challenged to do it. We did it. And so we take up a very small percentage of the overall property tax burden, obviously less than 2%. And I have a list of here, and I've shared it with you before, of the other subdivisions that take, for example, the counties, anywhere from 33 to 29.5 cents in our district. Cities, Bennington, close to 78 cents. Even the Millard Fire District gets 13 cents per hundred. That's not counting schools. Buck 24, buck 43, buck 31. And I gave you my experience as being the treasurer of the school board. I've got funds, building funds, depreciation funds, that have double or triple the amount that we can tax as a percentage of the overall tax rate. So we do what we can. We reduce it when we can. I just want to address one thing. There's some confusion on budgeting as far as, you know, there's a lot of accusations thrown out about over-budgeting. Well, the pure fact of our budget is if we don't complete a project in a given year, that money just doesn't disappear and rolls into some savings account. That cash on hand is taken off the very top of the requirements for the next budget year. So that money rolls over, so we don't re-tax for that project, what's left of it or if it starts. So those funds don't just disappear into this abyss. Those funds are taken right off the top, and that's what we call the cash on hand. And so it's simply not just a matter of, well, you budgeted too much for this project and you didn't complete it, so where does that money go? Well, that money goes back to that project the next year. And as with our projects, weather, permitting, other entities that we contract with through interlocal agreements who are bound by those interlocal agreements to provide those cost shares to us that they promise, all those things go into if we get a project completed or not. So we're recommending the approval of the budget as presented. The staff does a tremendous job. We work on the budget for probably 6 months, half the year we're budgeting. And they come in, and we already make cuts before it even gets to you. And so these are the necessities that we need to run this district. Now, there's another philosophy of budgeting that if you want to cause harm or cause a reduction in services or benefits to an organization, that's another budgeting. So we don't budget that way. We budget to consistently and conservatively move forward to get the projects that are listed on back behind Mr. Teaser's head that list all of the things that we are supposed to do, the missions that were given to us by the legislature. And so we recommend approval. If they have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. Thank you.
Can I get a motion?
I move the staff recommendation.
Okay. And who seconded? Who is the second?
I'll second.
Okay. Is there any discussion from the general public? Seeing none, directors. Dr. Reed.
Every year, you know, I look at these numbers, fall out of my chair at how much it is. And I think sometimes we need to listen to the public a little bit. Like these A1A forms, I brought these up several months ago. That I thought this would be a good document for the board to have every month. Because what it shows is shows all your progress reports on projects. If there's going to be a cost overrun, you know it right there on the spot. It's very informative. I think this is something we really need to look at to help with the budget. I know budgets are hard to put together because there's a lot of not knowing when you throw these numbers together. But I also agree, I think sometimes when it's no different than putting a bid together when you're talking hard dollars. You have a tendency to pad it because of the unknown. And I get that, but I think sometimes we need to look really hard at some of these numbers that are on here. Because I think there is room on some of the stuff to do some adjustments. Let's give some money back to the public once in a while. I know one thing for sure, my taxes, my levy base where I'm at, I'm in the South Star. My taxes have went up almost exactly what's on this paper. Actually went up a little more in the last 6 years. So yes, it does directly affect what we spend here. It does directly affect property taxes. Maybe not in your area, but in my area it sure did. I've doubled every year over the last 5 years. I can bring the paperwork in and show it. So I think we just need to look at this and be careful. You know, we're spending our kids' money here to pay this back.
Thank you, Director. And any further comments? Go ahead.
Contractors and public boards are legally obligated to give details of billing for their contract. I did not get the detailed requests and requested details. My constituency elected me to financial info on their behalf. And this is supported by state statute. I'd like any of you to point out state statute where it gives your consistency veto rights. I ask for information. Can you?
I am going to interrupt you because of obfuscation. Director,
this budget has not been reviewed. Thank you, sir. And until all the info is provided to all directors, as requested, this budget has no merit and is meaningless.
Thank you. Any further comments?
Roll call.
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Yes. That concludes my the agenda.
I'd like to call to order the first deal.
You want the mallet? No. Oh, you want to beat somebody in the
head? Thanks for that. Personnel, Legislative, and Public Affairs Subcommittee meeting, September 8, 2020. Got hit notification of the item number 3, quorum call.
Here. Here.
Here. And Chairperson.
Hi. Right. Item number 4, adoption of agenda.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
And
hi. Item number 5, proof of publication of meeting, which will become part of the item number 6, review and recommendation on resolutions to be considered at the 2020 NRD annual meeting. John Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The attached resolution 2020-1 was submitted by the Lower Platte South NRD, and it's in your packet for review. Basically, the resolution would recommend that the NARD support legislation for the development of an evidence-based, data-driven strategic action plan to provide methods for adapting to and mitigating the impacts of extreme weather events or climate change, and that the NARD will work with the unicameral and other interested parties in developing the amount of funding required, the source of funding, and the entity that would develop the action plan. A little history, this was introduced about 2 years ago, and the NARD at the legislative conference and the NARD group rejected that. They opposed a bill that was introduced that reflects this language. It was again brought up last year to change the position of the NARD on that legislative bill. Again, that was rejected overwhelmingly by the NARD at large to do that. Director Teasers, your NARD representative. They are bringing this as a separate resolution to either get the senator that introduced the original or another senator to introduce another and maybe amended resolution. So, Rich, you could add anything if you...
I find it interesting that this keeps reappearing. One has to realize that many of the members of the Lower Platte South NRD are associated with the University of Nebraska. And for some reason, there all seems to be a movement to do a study that the University of Nebraska will handle. And of course, that keeps people employed. This has overwhelmingly been rejected by the state NARD board, and I would advocate that you allow me to continue to oppose the mentioned resolution.
Just a note.
I would ask if the board support would support me voting no on this resolution.
So just as a clarification, this will be presented and voted on by the NARD delegate, which Rich is our representative, at the September meeting in Kearney. Obviously, they're not having the conference this year, but they are having the NARD board meeting there. So so that would give Rich direction to either oppose it or support it. So.
Anyone else wish to speak to the item?
So the motion is not what's printed. The motion is to not support it.
Helpful if we had one of them to sort of plead their this should be forward. We have had some extreme weather events. Board member, although I'm pretty sure I'll get outvoted, but I'd be inclined to.
I have another question. When time comes up.
We have a motion, but we have no second.
Move that oppose Rich. We encourage Rich to vote no. However you should word it. I say yes, Rich could say no.
For clarification purposes, this may have been two, maybe 3 years ago. Yes, Lord Plash professors have stood up. Everyone's like, no. And it just comes up that way. But they have laboriously brought it up. But it's the same group every year, and every year it gets shot down. So there's a lineage to this. Everyone is like, no, we don't need this. And so I don't care if it's UNL or whoever, but I just want to state the fact it has been portrayed.
Any other discussion? Anyone else have comments?
Yeah, and just, I mean, yeah, I remember the January meetings, just the general NRD meetings down in Lincoln, why this thing was overwhelmingly not supported, and I don't understand why we're even voting on it here.
It's just getting back now. It's new resolution. New year.
Okay. It's a guidance thing. You know, he's going to do what he's going
to do. I thought that was the vote in January last.
Yeah, that happens. And they'll do it again, too.
But what are we even voting and looking for if it keeps showing up again? So why are we doing this?
They'd have to go to the whole state. Yeah, they got
2300. To be clear, what is the motion that we're going to be voting on now, then?
Oppose it.
Or we're
going to
oppose it.
So it's to not support.
Not support this thing, right? Okay, that's what we're voting on. Got it.
That's the moment we get confused. Roll call.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do not want to support this. Whatever that is, a yes or no, I don't want to support this.
Yes for a no vote.
And Grimmel?
No. For adjourn. That's it.
Yes. Sorry, you should have been a yes.
Yes, not supporting it or no?
Not supporting it. I was.
Okay, so you're a yes.
So it's five years. 4-1. 4-1.